Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome Gage Edward, interior designer and head of partnerships at Sidedoor. In this episode, Gage tells us about his journey of design, from reimagining spaces as a kid to his introduction to a multifaceted business of design 12 years ago. We also discuss the challenges that design professionals face, particularly sales and procurement, and the industry's most promising solution, empowering designers to scale their business. Before we dive into our conversation with Gage, let's take a moment to acknowledge our sponsors. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, and a few new locations coming soon, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them that you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. And now, our conversation with Gage Edward. So Gage, welcome to the podcast. It is so great to have you.
Thank you for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.
I'm excited to learn about you and your background in design and what you're up to now, which I'm especially excited about. We'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, let's take a moment and have you introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Gage.
Well, my name is Gage. I am a designer. I am a partner in a tech company called Sidedoor. I am a dad. And that's kind of the general gist of who I am. I think we all morph and change as we grow. And I definitely think, you know, a major thing that changed in my life was 5 years ago when I had my daughter. And she just turned 5 this past week. And so I think, you know, you shift focus, and that's what I would say is what I am at the top of the list is a dad. And I love that more, honestly, more than anything. And the rest of it is all kind of for her. So, you know, I've been in this space and in the interior design community for probably a good 12 years, I would say 12, 13 years. And, kind of odd that it even ended up that way in general. I mean, I studied international business when I was in college. That's what my degree is in, mainly because it sounded better than a business degree. I'm like, let's just throw in the international. And then you had to study abroad. I'm like, I could do that, you know? So it's just kind of crazy that cut to many years later. And I look back to even as a kid where I grew up with, the only thing I had that was a sense of architecture was this floor plan book. And I want to say there were probably like 250 or 300 different house floor plans. And I grew up in the Midwest and, you know, they were split level. They were two-story houses. They were so cool, probably 3,000 or 4,000 square feet. And I remember going through as a kid and like I'd come home from school and then I would kind of do what ended up being sort of spatial planning. I would sort of look at this floor plan and walk through the room and walk through the house and how would I enter after school? I'd put my bag upstairs. I had which room was mine, like what went down to the kitchen where I'd hang out. I like envisioned living in this space. So at one point I saw pre-Google and most of the internet, you know, a random thing probably in school where what an architect can make for salary. And I'm like, well, that's not enough for me. So I'm going to deviate and go some other direction. And I just kind of tabled it. But I always I mean, for years I would go through those floor plans, and I had the one house in particular I loved the most. And, you know, I'd look at these different pages anyways. And then I got into, like, I traveled to different cities with my family, and then I would see buildings I liked. And then I started doing clay models of, this is all like, I don't know, 13, 14,
you
clay models of clay models of buildings on like a cookie sheet in my room. And mom's like, what are you doing up there for hours? And I'd come down with like six different buildings built in this little fake city with streets. And anyway, so obviously, you know, 12-ish years ago, my former partner was already in the business and was, you know, doing everything that he had done in his career already. And what happened was we met kind of right around the crash of the real estate market, and just, you know, newly together, I'm just one of those people, let's figure out how to make it work. And we just got immersed in sort of survival mode, I think, as everyone did in that sort of 2008, 2009 period.
Oh yeah.
Especially if you're someone that, you know, he owned real estate, and it was, what do you do with that? And he obviously had a platform and could leverage, you know, it was a matter of leveraging, you know, the opportunity that was sitting there. But we just kind of slowly started working more and more together. And then it cuts it several years later. And I just looked at my life and what we're doing with work. And it was as if, of course, this is what I should have been doing all along. Like that completely makes sense. If you look at my childhood and what I was always drawn to. So anyways, that's a really long version of me as a kid into how I ended up in design in general, and, you know, sort of working in all facets of project management, and on the construction side, on the design side, furnishing side. I definitely have, you know, my preferred places I'd like to be working, but I've kind of been able to do this dance, if you will, around every part of the interior design world. And from construction all the way into, you know, big box product deals with, we did a lot of stuff with Home Depot. At the time, I think we had five lines at one point, different levels of, some of that was licensing, some of that was product that we owned that we developed. Mm-hmm. And so I've just had such a great experience of seeing every facet of the business that, you know, I feel very fortunate, because, you know, in a way also, where else would I have learned that extent of information and have been exposed to that much, just varying levels. I don't even say career. I feel like I still think of myself as relatively young. So I don't know where my career is headed, but in terms of the early stages of things, it's been a pretty great ride to have experienced all of that. I mean, it's been kind of amazing, actually.
Obviously at some point, the business of design kind of intrigued you and captured your attention. I feel like there was a lot of behind the scenes action that was happening with you in your previous endeavors, which have led to kind of where you're at now. What is it about the business of design that kind of intrigues you?
I feel like at some point in that time range of my life and development, I just realized, you know, financially, I wanted to be in a certain place. And I always thought of, you need to have a product or a something that you can scale to a lot more people than dealing with one-off things or clients or whatever. And so I think, you know, based on what the platform was before, it was a matter that there was access to put a product in front of a lot of people, because there was only so much you could do as a design company to access the amount of people that wanted to work and have their projects worked on. And so I think what that kind of snowballed into, okay, great, this is something I always kind of thought I would want to do. So how do you scale a product offering of something to get to a mass of people versus working individually with each one of those people? Right. And so I always loved that side of the business, of sort of developing that and figuring out. I'm a big data guy too. I just, the numbers, it kind of, it's the roadmap to where it all needs to go. And so I always loved doing those different types of things and running more of the business side of it. And then, you know, one of the biggest, I think, one of the things that I learned throughout the time, and what I think one of the biggest struggles for interior designers is that, you know, the business is basically 90% paperwork. Oh, wow. It's a lot. It's a lot. You look at it from a creative, and I think I'm relatively creative. I think I'm really good at the rest of the stuff that goes into it. And when we had many more people working where I was at before, they were the creative types, and I kind of ran everything else behind the scenes, which I loved. And yeah. I love a kingmaker more than anything else. I've always been fascinated with all the people behind the scenes of maybe a personality or a company or whatever. You always know there's a team of people that actually do a tremendous amount of the work. They can't just show up in 100 different places and they did it also at night on the, you know, it's I've always been fascinated with that. So I love that role.
So would you say that realization of how the business of design operates, where our typical strengths and weaknesses lie as creatives, is that what really kind of brought you into the circle with Sidedoor? Because Sidedoor is such a great tool and I want you to tell us about it.
So Sidedoor is a platform essentially, and it's a centralized hub of the product offering of trade vendors. And having gone through everything that I've gone through and been exposed to and everything else, and understanding that, you know, 90% of the business is paperwork, Sidedoor is a platform that allows a designer to basically, there's a suite of tools. There's a lot of different options that you can work with. But the suite of tools that I think is most powerful to a designer is that, you know, you have, say you have a collection of a room and you've got several different products from several different vendors that you pull together for this one client. Okay. Well, now you've got this collection and now you've got to deal with how you're charging that client, billing that client, what's the order follow-up, all of that. With Sidedoor, it's this centralized hub that put all of those vendors into one basic site and platform. And now you or your client can execute transactions of that entire collection of, say there's seven different vendors in one living room that you put together. Mm-hmm. Well, you execute that order however it happens. Your client can do the checkout and pay at the retail pricing. You can do your designer net pricing, purchase, whatever. Sidedoor then takes that and our team issues out all the POs to all seven of those. They, within a few hours, have hit them with not only the PO, they're now emailing and calling, making sure that was received, that the order is being processed, that the inventory availability that we had, which is updated every couple of days, mm-hmm. was accurate, that the product's really going to be there. And you as a designer just processed an order from seven different vendors, trade vendors, that you may or may not have had an account with. And you now go back to doing design work. And an entire team of people, as this is sort of the main tool that is offered, you go back to designing and doing your work for either their next room or your next client or whatever. But a team of people just took that seven vendor order and they're now running everything behind the scenes logistics for you to get that through to your end customer. And that alone, I think, is one of the most powerful tools because, you know, of our user base, there's young people that are just starting out. There are single moms. There are people that are, you know, just now realizing that they have a revenue source that they can actually survive off of, because from a logistics standpoint, they don't need a personal assistant to try to handle all of this extra work. Yeah. They can now take on another client or two. That's actually a client or two for their revenue, not to pay for payroll. And so the power of that, I think, is one of the biggest things that I was drawn to when I first understood what was going on. And I've known the founders of the company for a while. Mm-hmm. And it was just such an exciting thing to get involved in and to start working on, because again, I feel like just from the actual case study of the fact that we do have designers who were going to give up on design that utilize the platform now they have a thriving business. We have moms that really were doing it on the side as like a side hustle, and now they can be still full-time mom, but while their kids are at school, they're able to actually run their business and have a business and now provide for their family or be the only provider for their family, whatever the dynamic is. And then beyond that, there's more suites of tools that allow for even more revenue and different things that you can add on. But at the base level, to me, we're empowering those women, those men, those whoever as designers that need that tool to help them, and they don't even realize the efficiency that it brings. And then the other thing to me that's really cool is that when you launch into design, and there's so many kids that are, they're in high school now or they're in college, they already have an eye. And I think that's one of the most important things in terms of design is that you, sometimes you have an incredible eye and you can already curate. Sure. You don't even know where that product necessarily is from. So you see Crate and Barrel, you see West Elm, you see your mainstream retailers where your clients that you could potentially be selling to, they are, they knew about that product before you even saw it. So you're competing as an actual, like obviously a much more advanced designer that doesn't do full custom pieces. You're competing with your own client because they know the same product you do, the e-com giants, the reach and the ability to channel people immediately at an exact demographic is so easy now in the digital age that they know the entire product offering of every big box retailer. They know it all already.
They have access.
What they have immediate access. They can see it all. So for you to compete with your own clients, you really need to utilize the trade industry. And one of the toughest parts to me about the trade industry, if you're just starting out, is you don't even know it exists. I was probably 5 or 6 years into working at what I think was a decent sized business. And I didn't know that furniture markets happen 4 times a year. Right. I had no idea. And then suddenly we're thrust into a different role. We get exposed to this and it's like, whoa, wait a second. Where was this world? That's unbelievable. That's where they buy that. And that store buys from there. And you just suddenly get exposed. Well, a lot of people, again, still don't know those markets happen. And once you get into those markets, it's overwhelming. There's so much product, you don't know where to start. And then there's major challenges to setting up the accounts, finding your sales rep, finding all these different yes. things that are just massive, massive roadblocks to how you can function as a designer in this business to, again, compete against your own client so that you have a job. In the day, you just want to keep your job and they're looking at you. You know, you're sending me stuff I saw on Instagram yesterday. I don't want that. Show me something different. And that's what the trade offers and why I think this industry is so still such a viable option for designers to actually run a business. But the barriers are unbelievable and they're only getting worse.
Going back to the people that Sidedoor benefits, there's so many design professionals that it could benefit from. You know, designers that have been in business for 10 or 15 years to designers who have been in business for, you know, 10 months. And I think one of the people who are really going to benefit from Sidedoor are these emerging design professionals, because going back to that back-end support that it provides, that's an aspect of the business that I think a lot of emerging design professionals may look at and then just run scared. Like, how many steps does this take? Really? Like, I can't possibly do this alone. I need a team right out of the gate. And you really don't. I think we've covered, you know, kind of how Sidedoor can be used as an amazing procurement tool for design professionals and how it will give us an edge when it comes to sourcing products and goods. But the one thing we haven't touched on that I really love about Sidedoor is kind of the marketing component, how it allows designers to introduce an alternate stream of revenue into their business by promoting and sharing, you know, beautiful concept boards and selling those items through social media or through a blog post, or even on their website. Because, you know, I've always worked in the high-end luxury design market and we had multiple jobs going at once. We always had at least 10 to 12 jobs happening at the same time, but they were always in very different stages. So the reality was we were kind of selling and installing 2, maybe 3 projects at the most per year. And that's a huge part of our business is the sale of goods. And we were always looking for a way to sell in between jobs. How do we keep selling in between jobs? And this is such a perfect example of how you can do that.
Well, and that's another thing too. It's exactly to your point of any designer that has maybe you have 3 or 4 clients at a time throughout the year. And then you hit holidays and everyone says, get out of my house. And you don't have, there's no revenue stream there because you know, you're living off your margins or your markups or however you structured your business. And you do, the ebb and flow of a design business is so scary. Also, I think that's an entrepreneur in general. You know, there's just different flows of times you're selling product. But the one of the other parts of the suites of tools of Sidedoor is that the technology allows for an embed that immediately turns your wherever your website is into a shopping cart. And so let's say you just installed a living room at Susie Smith's house and you photographed it and it and had those, it had 9 different vendors. It had a rug from one vendor, a side table from another, lamps. But it was a beautifully done room, and Susie Smith doesn't care that you promote the picture, or let's say it was in your own living room. Well, now when you put that together for that one-click checkout, you have what we call a collection. That collection is already sitting there with all those products. It's renamed whatever you want it to be named by product. The vendor name can be removed from it. There is the established IMAP pricing of that, so that price is stuck. And that's, you know, everyone has to uphold that level. But you now have that collection, and with one line of code on almost any platform that you have a website on, you can show the picture of Susie Smith's living room, and below it in your line of code, you embed this data point essentially. And from that pulls from Sidedoor, each of those individual products, the imagery of it, the price of it, the description of it, the name that you set for that product. And without having to do anything else to set up through, you know, a WooCommerce or a Shopify or whatever else, that alone is another daunting thing of just setting up your own shop. With one line of code, your website and that image is now completely shoppable. And when your customer, at this point, not necessarily your client, goes to look through the things from that image that they like, and I only like the side table and one of the lamps, or an ottoman or whatever, they add that to cart. Ultimately, they are on a fully branded experience that is yours. Mm-hmm. So Susie Smith Design is at the top. At the checkout, same thing. It's only powered by Sidedoor. We do the transaction, very low key. We're just an infrastructure. But from that tool set, you now make the spread off of the IMAP to your DesignerNet pricing. As soon as that product ships to that customer, that spread of whatever that margin was, oftentimes, you know, 35-40%, whatever it is set already by the vendor, that's deposited directly into your account. So there's no waiting for any of that. So from just having your own shopping site, it instantaneously turns your website shoppable if you want to utilize that feature. And then for anyone that wants to promote, there's so many people that are curating products on social media platforms that are designers and they're showcasing their rooms. And then, you know, they'll do, you know, one of the restyle or a reward style, any of that kind of thing. That's an affiliate program that now links you out to, and, you know, whether you're familiar with that or not, a lot of times you click out or you swipe up or now the link on an Instagram story. But you now, you see very quickly the rstyle.com and it links you over to Crate and Barrel or West Elm or whatever. Obviously, the line of code is then set there. If they buy that and execute a transaction, you get a 2-3% whatever affiliate fee that you can get. Well, that's silly because you could have done wholesale product and linked them to your branded website. They clearly like your social presence. They like your imagery. So now with the tool, you can send them directly over to your shopping site that is your brand. It's the product of that image they just saw. And now they can add to cart and they had a checkout experience with you as the designer. So that's where the tools get really powerful and in a way that a lot of our designers have passive income just from that. So there's multiple facets of A, where Sidedoor is headed, but what we already offer for tool sets that allow that revenue stream to expand and to grow. And when you execute as a customer that transaction, I think that Susie Smith is sitting on all that product that she just showed me. But in reality, Susie didn't touch anything. She just put it into one platform and promoted and did her creative work as a designer and now is able to monetize that taste level that she has that people like and execute transactions based on that.
And by the way, that margin between designer net and IMAP is a nice healthy margin that we should all be striving for. That is nothing to scoff at. It's a hell of a lot better than 2 or 3% from an affiliate link. I can tell you that.
I mean, it's upwards of 10 times plus the amount that you would make off an affiliate. And all you're doing in the affiliate linking is just helping promote the e-com giants that are after your clients anyway.
Yeah.
So it's better as, again, a community that we start promoting our own trade products. So what the trade vendors are there for. Yeah. And we get our own clients and our own potential customers off of the giants, because all we're doing is, sure, they'll give you 2 or 3%. That was nothing to them. Yeah. Just the data alone off of you sending that customer, they'll execute, you know, several hundred dollars off of that one customer throughout the rest of the year. So thank you. Now, you know, extrapolate that across the millions of people that are being sent, and it's great for their business, but we're just helping build them up, and we need to
be a little more cautious
about what we're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. We need to capture and own that for ourselves and really kind of take ownership of that client experience. Because I think another benefit to creating those boards is that, yeah, maybe that client can go online and find that same lamp or throw or something else somewhere else, but they feel like it's been curated by you, by the designer. And it is also an opportunity to make a consumer feel like they are working with you, even though they haven't hired you at full scale. You know what I mean? So I feel like it gives consumers access to a level of design that maybe they didn't have before, if we, you know, stay on top of it and really kind of embrace that process.
Yeah. And I think that that's part of where I believe, especially social in general, the direction that it's all headed is that if I'm following you, I obviously like your aesthetic. And if you start showing me how you put together a room and how you accessorize a room, well, I'm very interested in that. And if I can just buy it from you, I'd rather do that than hunt around and try to find individual pieces. So now I like that room, but I only like 3 products. Well, I don't want to go to 3 websites to figure it out. You just centralized it for me. So I'm just going to check out and add to cart on the few things I like. Yep. Or I can check out on all of it. It doesn't matter, but I get to choose. And I like that I'm now, you know, being able to buy from you. There are so many, even on, especially Instagram, random products that come into the feed that I'm very comfortable now buying from a random startup brand of something that I don't need, but it looks really cool. And it's like, you're so close to being able to execute. So for the design community, we're at the cusp of where that's really going to be a free for all. And, you know, Q4 and Q1 of even Instagram, of monetizing stories and live and all of the different features that they have. Pinterest just relaunched the new version of their app. They're heavy into idea pins and making, you know, all of your content. Essentially, it's an Instagram story option in a way, but they have so many more tools and different things that are really, really tailored to their millions and millions of creators that are pretty phenomenal. And I think definitely a huge step up for Pinterest. And they've got an incredible team that are driving a lot of that, that, you know, are very creative and want to see this really work. And they want to see their creators being able to monetize. So you've got all these different options, and now you're able to really leverage that and not do an affiliate link program and utilize your content and generate new content and actually be able to, yeah, when you're talking designer net pricing to the IMAP pricing, again, it depends obviously by vendor, but you're talking 35%+ margin. And some of them, it's a lot sweeter than that. Mm-hmm. So the industry's sitting there, it's available to be able to utilize those products. You're able to specify products that we know we have stock of, and, you know, you put it all together, there's a potential giant revenue stream for you, especially if you have a following.
Right. Oh my gosh. Well, I am so glad that you are on board with Sidedoor and that you are sharing this kind of information with the design community and promoting the product. I just think it is so great for so many reasons. And you and I have talked at length about this. And so I'm glad that you agreed to come onto the podcast, tell us a little bit about yourself, but also share some of the benefits of this platform. We could probably talk for 2 more hours and still barely scratch the surface on all of the benefits, but I'm hoping that this conversation will prompt people to go and learn more about Sidedoor. When we wrap the interview, we'll obviously direct them to where they can find more information, but I'm not letting you off the hook without asking you our signature questions, Gage.
Okay. I'm ready, I think. I hope. So
I would like to hear what you would say your secret to survival in the business of design has been up to this point?
I mean, I think in general, I think in life, it's day-to-day projects. I think that it's in your design business. It's in any business. You have to be agile and on your toes, and you have to recognize opportunity. And I think any of those tool sets within your day are very important, because I tell my 5-year-old daughter, you know, if she's grumpy in the morning, like who, or she's not paying attention or listening or whatever, it's like, you know, who decides if you're going to have a good day? And she obviously answers now, I do, meaning her. And it's to that point. You can look at things negatively, you can look at things positively. Usually when you think positively and you got to spin the situation, you're in it. Contractors didn't show up today. This happened literally yesterday. Cabinet maker decided not to show up. Okay. Well, pivot, be agile. And you know, half the cabinetry, like, I don't know, porcelain cabinetry is already installed. Okay, well, we have to bleach it. So can the painter come? All right, let's move with that guy. Get him in there, start bleaching this. Just be on your toes, because that's our entire business. And you know, my client was very happy that, okay, great, I'm glad somebody was working today. And I just think in the design business overall, you have to recognize the opportunity of what's going on, and you can fight it as long as you want to fight it. You can fight e-com platforms as long as you want to, and you can complain about it into your retirement, or you can be on your toes, be agile, and realize something you never thought you would be doing, you can do, and you can earn revenue from. So I think even in the space that I was in before and the business that was built there, that was just being agile, on your toes, recognizing a situation and figuring out a way to monetize whatever it was that we were around, or a client that reached out with a certain budget. Okay, well, here's what we can do for that amount of a budget. And so I just think in terms of overall design business, you just have to be agile and realize what you had planned probably isn't going to be where you end up. But you know, it was a good idea that you planned it, and then it could be completely derailed. But it's happening, so you embrace it and think positively. And how do you make on that?
And what would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, when you kind of entered the business of design?
Well, I mean, I came into the business of design how I did, and it was something that I was kind of just thrown into. If I was starting that out on my own independently, what I would have loved to have known was the extent of the paperwork and the extent of the road barriers and the blocks and the, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're not here, you can't buy this much, you can't have that account. I wish I would have known those things had I been an independent rolling into this business. Because as you learn those elements that are in front of you, it's just very, it's unfortunate because they obviously exist. And as a trade industry, we need to unite, but those barriers are so strong that some people are just completely distraught by it and just, never mind, it's not for me, I can't do it. It takes up too much of my time. Yeah. I've got to be doing this and doing that for my family, or, you know, my client, I'll just keep shopping local stores and, you know, doing my design business that way. So again, I think it would have been that I understood the barriers and the extent of the real business that goes behind it. I happen to love that, but if I was an independent starting out, I would have, you know, it would have been a nightmare.
And how would you say you pay it forward in the design community?
To me, I think even as a kid, I mean, again, we talk about career and I feel like I'm just starting in a weird way, but I always felt like whatever it was that I did at the end of that career, I come from a family of educators, my mom, my grandma, and I always felt like there'd be a time where I would, you know, go back and teach at schools or hit now interior designers and say, look, it's 90% paperwork, just so you know. Whatever you're learning, just know that you should go to business courses also and accounting courses, because there's a whole nightmare sitting in front of you. But so glad that you have a great eye. But I think that paying it forward, it's kind of crazy, because I feel like that's what I'm doing with Side Door, is that I feel, look, there's revenue opportunities in growing a company. I love growing companies. I've done it before. I started my first business when I was 14 years old and manufacturing aluminum components. So go figure that I ended up in design, but I love doing this and I love creating. And so for Sidedoor to be able to work with the company and our entire team to build this up, there's obviously different revenue streams and different things that are the business part of it. But I think what's most exciting to me is helping that single mom. It's helping the kid that's in right now that thinks they want to be a designer, and in 5 or 6 years or right at the end of high school, they launch into starting to help their family with their design projects or whatever. Our tool set allows them the ability to be an incredible designer the second they want to start. And that to me is such a powerful thing. And it's something that our entire team unites around. And we have internal people speaking that use our platform that our team just soaks it up, because you get to see who we help as a tool and as a company that we're helping people in their survival of their family and their being able to provide and to have, you know, we're in it for the small businesses. That's obviously who we're targeting with our tool set and to be able to help, but to really see those small businesses and to have that communication with them and to have them involved talking back to our team. When we get to see that just lifts everybody up. And we have an incredible group of people, but it is just so empowering to sit there and listen to, you know, someone who just sits in data and uploads different data and inventory numbers and you know, their team that doesn't even touch this in the end, to know what you do and what you affect is the coolest thing, I think, that I've ever been a part of so far in terms of work, because there's so many people that we're already helping, and where it scales to from here is just going to be, it'll be such a cool thing, because it allows these small businesses to thrive in an industry that is almost kind of set up to make sure they don't. That empowers that small business of, again, go back to Susie Smith, and maybe she's in Oklahoma and she's bringing product that anybody in Oklahoma and even in LA or New York haven't seen. Yeah. And it's trade only products. And now she's a thriving designer. That's the coolest thing, because we connected those dots for her and helped her grow her business. And, you know, again, you scale that out, and that's a lot of small businesses that we're able to help immediately now and help launch also in the future. So I think that's sort of, in a weird way, paying it forward.
It's not a weird way at all. It's a great way. I love it. Well, Gage, I really appreciate you joining us and having this conversation with us. I think it's really going to benefit a lot of people. I think it's going to capture the attention of a lot of designers, whether they're just starting or if they've been in the business for a long time, to kind of dig into Sidedoor a little bit and better understand it and hopefully identify ways that it can help them grow and scale their businesses and become more profitable. Where can we find more information on Sidedoor?
It's on sidedoor.com, and you can register to sign up there. And then I think there's an invite flow and some other things, but our team is basically a daylight team worldwide. So you'll get all of your feedback information pretty quickly. It's a trade only platform, so you do have to have a resale license, but you can get in and we can add that in, you know, as you get further along, but there's a vetting process that it is actually, you know, you are an interior designer, so that all of that stays relatively exclusive, that tool set. But yeah, it's on sidedoor.com.
Gage, thanks a million. I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rick. Appreciate it.
It was so great to chat with Gage about his journey and to hear how passionate he is about empowering the design community. Gage really found his place in the business of design, and I love how he is leveraging that experience to partner with a platform like Sidedoor that is changing the way design professionals do business and generate revenue. Now, just to clarify, this episode is not sponsored or paid for by Sidedoor. I just think that it's an amazing platform, and I see great value in sharing it with the design community. I really appreciate how Gage emphasized how Sidedoor can benefit emerging design professionals as well as established designers. The business of design can be intimidating, and to Gage's point, the barriers can be overwhelming. I've always said that this business is not for the faint of heart, but I also believe that this business is accessible and can be very profitable. So I'm grateful that Sidedoor has developed a robust set of tools that sets designers up for success. What can I say? I'm a fan. A big thank you to Gage for taking the time to talk designer to designer about his perspective of the design industry, his secret to survival, and his commitment to elevating the design community. If you loved this podcast episode, please share with a friend or colleague. If you're listening on iTunes, please take a moment to leave a review. That really helps boost our visibility on the platform to reach more design professionals just like you. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.